All right, let's go back to Washington and bring in one of our good friends, and that's Mark Zuckerman. He covers the Nats for the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network. Masson does a great job. Mark, how are you today?
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Well, we're doing well. I appreciate you being on with us. Max Scherzer today. I just did the setup of the game today. Derek Holland, Max Scherzer. Should the Giants even show up?
Sure, I think it's worth it to show up because you never know what might happen. And also, the forecast isn't so great, so maybe you could have one of these days where the game starts and then you get a delay and you can't. You only get two or three innings of Max Scherzer. But look, right now, I think it's hard to argue that he's not the best pitcher in baseball, certainly in the National League with Kershaw on the DL. And what's amazing is that, you know, he wins the last two Cy Youngs, and he's remarkable in doing it. And you think to yourself, okay, well, there's probably going to be some drop-off this year. He's 33 years old now. And he says, no, I'm going to try to get better. And he has been better. He is perfecting the art of pitching. And I've never personally covered anyone who combined the talent that he has with the drive to continue to get better. And it's really a remarkable thing to see.
Yeah, it is. I was thinking of Kershaw as you were saying that. For dominance, and Kershaw's hurt right now. But even Kershaw in his best day, I don't think could come close to Scherzer, the way Scherzer dominates right now.
It's the strikeouts, the lack of walks, the number of pitches that he throws. He's comfortable going into territories that a lot of guys don't, up to 120 and beyond. It's sort of Bumgarner-ish in that way when he's healthy. It really has been an impressive thing to see. And then on top of it all is he's a great athlete. The other day in Atlanta, it's a 14-inning game. They're running out of players. They bring him in to pinch hit in the top of the 14th. He gets the hit that starts the rally and then scores from first base, the eventually winning run. He just is so into it and cares so much and wants to be the best that he can be at everything that he does. It's really a treat to get to watch him every fifth day, and sometimes even in between those 5 days when he gets to come off the bench.
Very interesting. Mark Zuckerman with us. Ovechkin, the Stanley Cup. I mean, I've seen people celebrate for like 3 or 4 days, you know that. But this guy is taking it to a new level. It's incredible. The crowd loves it. Washington loves it. I love seeing it. How about that at the ballpark?
It's been an amazing thing over the last, 48 hours or so since they clinched the cup in Vegas. And I think what you need to understand here is a couple of things going on. Number one, it's just that the Capitals themselves have come so close over the years. They've had great teams that just couldn't win in the playoffs. And so they won for the first time in their 44-year existence. And Ovechkin really falling, I think, in that category of the best player in the sport who hadn't won it yet. So you combine that. And then on top of that, it's just the fact that Washington, as a sports town, had not won any title in 26 years since the Redskins in 92. And so this town, I've lived here for 17 years now, and what I've come to realize is this place just desperately wanted somebody to get over that hump, and once it happened, they were going to explode, and it's been a remarkable couple of days. It's going to continue all the way till Tuesday when they have their parade. And I can tell you that within the Nats clubhouse, they've been watching this really closely, and it has only made them want to now get to experience it themselves. They've been that franchise that has been close and can't get over the hump. And this town would just go ballistic if they could somehow pull off two championships in 1 year, and these guys are going to now try to pull that off later this fall.
Boy, amazing. The Stanley Cup did make it into the Giants' dressing room. I got some photos last night of Ron Wotus with the Stanley Cup last night, so it's all over the place. It's a big deal. It really is a big deal. There were pictures of Ovechkin jumping in a pool in Washington, and I'll tell you, it really, I love it, and you become a Washington fan after seeing how this breaks down. I like it. I really do. Speaking of breaking down, Strasburg, you know, as I always say, I wouldn't want to put my fate in his hands. Again, disabled list for him. What's up with Strasburg?
Well, watching him for the last month or so, even though the results were fine, even though the velocity seemed to be fine, he just never really looked comfortable out there. And just finally the other night, you saw him come out after two innings and talking with Davey Martinez and with the trainer. And he admitted that his shoulder wasn't feeling 100%. And so they put him on the DL. He got the MRI, and I guess the positive news is right now they're saying it's just inflammation and not showing any kind of structural damage. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a real quick return. You know, obviously it's at least 10 days, and they may be cautious here and wait longer than that. This guy has gone through just about every injury that there is over the course of his eight seasons in the big league. This is really the first time he's had the shoulder, though. He obviously had the elbow as a rookie when he tore the ligament, had to have Tommy John surgery. He's had subsequent elbow injuries a couple of years ago. He's dealt with a back, an oblique, a neck. But this is the first time the shoulder, and that's always a concern because that's the injury that still seems to have long-term ramifications if it is a significant injury. And like we said, right now it's not. So they're going to probably be cautious with him. They know it's more important to have him at the end of the season like they did last year than it is to have him in June. But clearly they need this to not be something of great consequence because their best hope of getting over that hump in October, like we were talking about, is to have both Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg at 100%.
All right, Mark Zuckerman with us, talking a little bit about Strasburg and the Nationals and the celebration, of course, and Max Scherzer. The race in the East. Now, I saw you at the end of April when you guys were out here. I'm impressed with the Braves. I want to tell you something. They've got a bullpen. Freeman and Markakis, Acuna will be back. Albies is in a slump now, but the Phillies we saw, I think the Phillies are still a little bit of away. How is this race shaping up? The Nats are right there at first place. The Mets are free-falling. How do you see this race in the East?
Yeah, I think it has changed somewhat in the month or so since we last talked. At the time, I think I remember saying that I thought the Phillies were maybe the team that could challenge them the most and that maybe the Braves could hang in there, but I thought maybe the pitching wasn't going to hold up. Well, you've seen the Phillies kind of fall apart here more recently, and having just now seen the Braves in person a week ago when the Nats were in Atlanta, I am impressed with them. I think they have some staying power. The pitching is better than I thought it would be. Like you mentioned, the bullpen and a couple of the young starters, Newcomb and Fulton Davis, were outstanding when they faced the Nationals. And that was a big series for the Braves. They knew that was a big test for them against the Nationals, and they took three out of four. And I think they come out of that emboldened a little bit and believing that they can compete all season long. I really think the fascinating thing is going to be, and we're still, what, a month, 6 weeks away from when the trade deadline stuff really starts to kick up. Do the Braves have the ability and will they go try to make some kind of move that would maybe even help them get over the hump even more? They have prospects. There's no question about that. The question is going to be, if they weren't expecting to win already this year, do they not want to sacrifice the future in exchange for trying to win it all right now? They may look at this, though, and say, hey, you know what? We're right there with the Nationals. The Nationals have plenty of injury issues moving forward. This might be their chance. And so that's kind of the thing I'm looking forward to seeing is how do the Braves handle the trade deadline?
Yeah, we'll see if they have that staying power. I'll tell you one thing. I saw a pitcher yesterday, Justin Miller, that I thought was the best reliever I've seen all year long. Where the heck did this guy come from? And he looks like one of those bridge guys that can give you a couple innings, and he's untouchable.
He's been a huge find out of nowhere. He has pitched in the past for the Angels and in the minor leagues, and you look at his career numbers, and they are not impressive at all. You're talking about ERAs in the fours and the fives, even at AAA. The Nats picked him up as a minor league free agent. He's 30 years old, so he's been around the block. He tweaked his delivery some, and you notice he pitches with a really over the body, across the body kind of motion.
Right.
And it's caused both deception and a lot of movement on his fastball. And he has been brilliant. He has not, between AAA and the big leagues, he has not given up a run yet. And he's only given up one hit. I think only one base runner since joining the Nationals has actually reached against them. He's got 17 strikeouts in nine innings, something like that. Who knows if he can keep it up, but they may need it because Brandon Kinsler got hurt yesterday. And so if they can have another setup man to help bridge the gap there, that's going to be huge for them.
Yeah, this guy was terrific. Juan Soto, 19 years old, a left-handed hitter. He'll go against Holland today. Nothing seems to faze this kid either. And you put him with Harper, you know, and Robles and Eaton is back. The Nationals may be a little better than I think. I think other than the pitching woes, a little bit with Strasburg, the team on the field looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, as long as they're healthy, that's the key. And then the reason that Soto was called up was because they weren't healthy. They went through a bunch of left fielders. Eaton got hurt. Brian Goodwin got hurt. Howie Kendrick tore his Achilles, and that left them in a tough spot as well. So they decided to call up this kid who he started the year in low A ball in Hagerstown and was already had been promoted twice from Hagerstown to Potomac, which is high A, and then Potomac to Harrisburg, which is double A. And only a week later, he's in the big leagues, and they didn't really want to do that. But they felt like at that point he was their best option because he was tearing up every league he was in, and he's just continued it here. He is incredibly mature for a 19-year-old, has a great approach at the plate, takes his walks, looks to hit the ball to left field. He's been really effective against left-handed pitching. All three of his homers have come against lefties. They didn't even necessarily intend to keep him up here, but he's done so well that now they're going to find a way to keep him here, even with Eaton back, and find kind of a rotation of outfielders. It's been a remarkable thing, not, again, something they expected, but they're going to keep riding this wave as long as he shows he can handle it.
Well, I appreciate it, Mark. I appreciate you being with us. One last question for you. I'm going to give you an all-star ballot. Who are you putting in as a shortstop for the National League on the all-star team?
Oh, am I going to go homer here and say Trey Turner? I think I may have to.
I'm going to have to give you an argument here. Go ahead. Where are you going?
So I think I'm going to go Trey Turner.
Really?
I'll be honest, I haven't really looked at all the numbers across the board that closely. I was going to wait till we get a little closer to selection time. But what Trey has been able to do at the plate, on the bases, and even in the field, I think he's becoming one of the most complete shortstops in the league. I know Brandon Crawford is great. I know some other guys have been outstanding. But given that the game is in Washington, I'm going to go with the homer pick here and say Trey Turner.
All right. Well, when he learns to throw the ball without jumping, I'll consider him a shortstop. Yeah, and look, we're Crawford fans here, and we watch him every day, and he's having a career season. So for me, I would pick Crawford. But I wanted to bring it up for the audience because I think it's going to come down to those two for the starting shortstop. So, hey, I appreciate
that. That's a great race. You can't go wrong either one of them.
All right. Appreciate having you on as always. We'll catch up with you during the season and enjoy the day today.
Okay. Thank you, Marty.
All right. That is Mark Zuckerman. Masson does a great job. Check him out on Twitter and, of course, follow him during the game. Wow. Good interview with him. That was a lot of fun. Max Scherzer and Derek Holland, and we'll see how it works out.